Today's scripture is from Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8. I, John, am writing this to the seven churches in Asia province. All the best to you from the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive, and from the seven spirits assembled before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, loyal witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler of all earthly kings. Glory and strength to Christ who loves us, who blood washed our sins from our lives, who made us a kingdom, priests for his Father, forever, and yes, he's on his way. Riding the clouds, he'll be seen by every eye. Those who mocked and killed him will see him. People from all nations and all times will tear their clothes and lament. Oh yes, the Master declares, I'm A to Z. I'm the God who is, the God who was, and the God about to arrive. I'm the sovereign strong.
So there's a story of an old farmer who lived a long, long time ago. And he was a modest farmer, and he worked a rather small plot of land with only one horse. He loved that old horse, and it was a hard-working horse. But one day, the horse got free from the stable and ran away. The word spread of the farmer's misfortune, and one of the neighbors came by to say that he was sorry. He said, I heard that your horse ran away, and I just wanted to come by and tell you how sorry I am about this tragic event. And the old farmer kind of shrugged a little bit, and he said, who knows what's bad or good. A few days later, the old horse returned. And with him, seven wild horses had followed him back. Now the old farmer, instead of having one horse, had eight horses to work his land. The neighbor heard about it. He came by and he said, I am so happy for you. Congratulations. This is fantastic. And the old farmer kind of shrugged and said, who knows what's good or bad. A few days later, the farmer's son, was out trying to work with these new horses, and one of these wild horses threw him to the ground. His arm was shattered, not just broken, but shattered and broken in multiple places. He was in tremendous pain. The neighbor came by and he said, I just heard that your son was so badly injured. I just wanted to tell you how sorry I am about this tragic news. And the old farmer kind of shrugged and said, who knows what's bad or good. A few days later, the armies came through the villages and the farmlands, and they were taking every able-bodied young man and forcing them into service to go to war. But because the old farmer's son was so severely injured, he couldn't fight, so the armies passed him by. The neighbor came and he said, I just heard the armies could have taken your son and forced him into war, but he didn't have to go because of his injuries. I'm so happy for you. I'm so relieved that your son will not be forced into these wars. And the old farmer kind of shrugged and said, who knows what's bad or good. And the story continues as long as life is lived. This is one of those stories that shows us that things tend to play out very often different than we might expect. Very often we get focused on the news of the moment. What is happening? How do we feel at this particular moment? And to some extent, that's not bad. It's perfectly fine to celebrate the great moments of life and to grieve the sorrowful moments of life. This is a natural process we go through, and we shouldn't stifle that. We should laugh when it's time to laugh, and we should cry when it's time to cry. However, this story sort of illustrates that there's a longer line, a broader vision than what we might see in the moment. And the scripture we read today in Revelation, God tells us that. He says that I am the A to Z. The older translations say the Alpha and the Omega, which is the Greek lettering. The first letter is Alpha. The last letter in the Greek language is Omega. I am the Alpha and the Omega. In English, we would say I am the A to Z, that he is everything. From the beginning to the end, God is all things of all time, which means God is in every moment, but not limited to every moment. That God is much broader, much bigger than all of that. And so many times we get stuck in those moments, in where we are, what is happening in this particular moment, when God sees so much bigger than that, so much broader than the moments of life. He literally sees eternity. Sees all that will happen in all the circumstances, the far-reaching circumstances that we may never see. And so one of the things about the spiritual life is it takes us beyond the things of the moment and brings us into a place where there can be peace and there can be joy and there can be a sense of contentment above the day-to-day moments. One of the things the physical life will do for us, the day-to-day worldly life, is it tends to have us on these major ups and downs. That if something happens to us, we are thrilled. But we kind of know that it can't last forever, don't we? You'll hear people say things like that. It's like, it can't last. One of the old expressions in the U.S. is, well, waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's just one of those ideas that, well, that can't last. Funny thing, though, when we hit the valleys, we think that's going to last forever. We just assume that if we get in the low parts of life, I am never going to be happy again. Well, that's not true. Because one of the things that happens is we do come off that mountaintop because there's going to be sorrow. And when we're in the sorrow, it's going to get better. It always does. There are these huge ups and downs. The spiritual life, however, takes us out of all of that. Not that we don't experience it in our physical life. We always will. Not that we don't grieve and not that we don't celebrate and laugh. But the spiritual life is higher than that. It's broader than that. It doesn't get caught up in the moments of life and the circumstances of life, but understands that God is God through all of those things. This is why this is important. This is important because very often when people get discouraged in their faith, very often when people get frustrated with God, they stop believing in God, they stop believing in faith, they have a crisis in their life, it's because they believed things would work out a certain way and they didn't. People will say things like, my mother was sick, and I believed God would make her better. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed that God would make her better. I gathered my friends, I gathered my church, and I believed that God would make her better, and God didn't. Here's the thing. If we believe in a what, we'll probably be disappointed. It's not a matter of believing in what, it's a matter of believing in who. What I mean by that is we can have a list of things that we want, that we believe can happen, things of what we want. And sometimes that will happen and sometimes it won't. But when we start to believe in God, not what God might be able to do for us, but we believe in God himself. We believe in the Spirit of God. We believe in the love of God through all circumstances. That will never fail us. Well, we really learn this so many places, really. But one of the profound places we learn this is in the book of Job. If you read the book of Job, and you read just the first couple of chapters, which is what most people do, Job comes off looking great. Job's first reaction is amazing. Job has all these terrible things happen to him when he did absolutely nothing wrong. He did nothing to deserve any of this. And yet terrible, terrible tragedies come upon him, and his first reaction is just amazing. His first reaction is, blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I'll return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I came into this world with nothing, he says. I'll go out with nothing, but blessed be the name of the Lord. It's an amazing reaction. And from that reaction, some people say, oh, he was so patient. Job was so patient. So many times you'll hear people say, the patience of Job. Job was not patient. Read the rest of the book. People read the first two chapters and think Job was so patient. The rest of the book, Job is angry. He is depressed. He is confused. He cries out to God, why did you let this happen? I don't deserve this. And he didn't. His friends came by and said, well, of course you deserved it. God wouldn't let anything happen you didn't deserve. You must have sinned. You must have done something wrong. You must have done something to deserve this. And he kept insisting, I didn't. I didn't do anything wrong. Why would God let this happen? You read through 30-something chapters of this, of him crying out to God in so many ways, grieving, suffering. And then we come to the end, and God speaks. And did God explain to Job, this is why I did that? No. He never explains it. You know what God said? I was here before you were born. I was here before the world was made. I was here before anything happened. I'm bigger than all of it. That was the answer. That was his answer. Not an explanation of what happened in that moment, but teaching Job that God is bigger than all of that. That there are things we will never understand in this life, and that's okay, because God. We have God. And God is bigger than all the circumstances of life. It is not just a direct correlation that I keep all the rules, I do everything God wants me to do, I'm a good person that does good things and everything good will happen. But if I do bad things and break the rules, then bad things will happen. That sometimes is true. I mean, if you do really dumb things and you commit really bad things, do really bad things in your life, it increases the odds that bad stuff's going to happen. And if you do good things in life, and you're a good person, and you do reasonable things in life, it increases the odds that your life is going to be easier, but it's not a guarantee. The Bible tells us it rains on the just and the unjust. That good things happen to both good and bad people. Bad things happen to both good and bad people. And we sometimes, as people of faith, we look at that and we say, why? Why can't it just be fair? The spiritual life is not one that makes everything line up to where good falls on one side and bad falls on the other. The spiritual life is not one that means that if I keep all the rules, only good things will happen to me. And bad people, only bad things will happen to them. That's not the life of faith. The spiritual life is one that gets us out of all these ups and downs and all of these keeping score. All of this things of, I did this, so I deserve this. It gets us out of all that and understands that no matter what, we have God. And God is above all of that. It's not the what that we believe in. It's who we believe in. It's not that we believe God can do good things. It's that we believe in God. It's not that we believe God will bless us if we follow this set of rules. It's that we have the Spirit of God in our life. This is not easy. It's easier to believe, I do good things, I keep the rules, God blesses me. And if people break the rules, then God should punish them. That's easier for us. And there are people of faith that try to teach that. That's not in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that we get above that. That there is a place of spirituality where the things of life are the things of life. And they tend to play out. And sometimes what we think is good at the time turns out to not be so good. And sometimes what we think is bad at the time turns out to not be so bad. Some of the most important moments of our life were the moments that hurt the worst in the moment. And yet, how many times do we look back on some of the painful things and say, you know what? That ended up being really valuable. How many times do we have something good that happened to us only to lead us down a road that we think, oh, that turned out not to be so great? There was a television show I was watching one time in the U.S. about people who won the lottery. They played the lottery. And by chance, they won. They received millions of American dollars, and it destroyed their life. They had no ability to handle that level of money. They had no ability to handle the people that would swarm them, begging them to fix every problem in their life, to give them so much. They had no ability to handle that, and it destroyed them. It destroyed relationships. You would think it'd be a great thing, and yet it was not. Mother Teresa once said that if we draw close to God, when we really see God's glory, when we see the glory of the kingdom of heaven, that all the suffering of the world will end up looking like an inconvenient night in a cheap motel. All the suffering in the world will look like one inconvenient night in a cheap motel compared to the glory of the kingdom of heaven. This is why the spiritual life is so important. Because while we are in this fallen world, there is going to be suffering. And those who try to use God, who try to use the rules of religion, who try to use the path of faith to manipulate the circumstances as they want them to be, are missing the point of spiritual life. Spiritual life is about God, about coming to a place that we understand God will lead us through the good times and lead us through the bad times, and we're not really able to see down the road far enough to always know which is which. We know what we like in the moment. And again, I'll emphasize, we have every right to celebrate in the moment when something seems good. We have every right to grieve and to cry in the moment when things seem bad. That's perfectly healthy. But the spiritual life would get us above that and tell us down the road, we're not 100% sure which is which, of what God can do with either one. And when we get above that and we understand that God can use these circumstances, good and bad as we see them, for glory that we don't understand, for things beyond our understanding at the moment, then we get to celebrate no matter what. This is when we start coming into a place that we can just say, praise the Lord. But you're having such a bad time. Hey, praise the Lord. I don't know what he's going to do with it. I can live in peace and in joy and in harmony with God, in the Spirit of God, regardless of the circumstances. The life of faith was never meant to manipulate to get what we want in our circumstances to have life line up the way we want it. The life of faith was always to bring us into alignment with the Spirit of God so that the circumstances won't matter. Good days, bad days, we still have God. We need people of faith that draw close to God and can praise God in the good times, but can also praise God in the difficult times. Doesn't mean we don't grieve. Doesn't mean we don't cry. But under that, there is still a sense of peace and calm and joy that it's okay because I have God. I have a connection with the Creator. God is not trying to manipulate all the circumstances for us so that we can have everything the way we want it. Because ultimately, down the road where we can't see, we might not even wanted it that way. Had we known, God sees down the road. He knows what is best. He knows that the path we are going through may be difficult, but it is the best one for us now, whether we understand that or not, whether we ever understand that or not. And that's why prayer is so important. People sometimes struggle with prayer because they say, why should I pray to God? God already knows what I want. That's missing the entire point. Sure, we can ask God for what we want. But don't we want God to give us what is best? What if we're asking for something that's not good for us? Would we want God and God's wisdom to give us what was best? Well, I think most people would say yes. It's not just about getting what we want or asking God for what we want. It's fine to do that. But it's about drawing close to God, drawing close to our Creator, and learning to trust Him. Learning to be close to God in the midst of circumstances so that the circumstances don't matter. That even when we grieve, we trust that God will lead us through that and make us better. One of the things that happened in the course of my life, I think the thing that I would say was the largest tragedy of my life so far was the end of my first marriage. I'm happily married now, but I went through a divorce many years ago, and it nearly killed me. And I thought I would never get through all of that. But you know what God did with that? Years later, I started a recovery ministry for people who had drug addiction and alcohol addiction and divorce and dysfunctional family issues and all kinds of other problems. And the reason that I could do that is because I had been broken myself during that time of suffering. Because before that, I was a little bit judgmental. Before I was broken, I would look at people that had wrecked their life, and I didn't say it out loud. And I tried to be compassionate, and outwardly, I was very good to people, but on the inside, I would think, boy, did you mess up. Why did you do that? Why don't you just stop? These were the things going on inside of me. I could still shake a person's hand and be kind to them. On the inside, I was not proud to say it, but I was a little judgmental about it, wondering why people would mess up their lives so badly. But once I was broken, once my life was messed up, once God brought me through that valley, man, it's really easy to be compassionate to people. It's really easy at that point to not judge people for mistakes, to not look down on people once we've been broken ourselves. And for many years when I was in the States, I led that ministry. It's one of the most rewarding things that I have done because I was able to. That God was even able to use my brokenness to help others. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that God could bring something so rewarding into my life from that time of brokenness and heartache. And yet, God knows more than me. God saw down the road. One of the things that prayer does, it brings us into connection with God. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, for preaching God's word, he did everything right and was thrown into a dungeon, he was singing. You can look this up. He was singing hymns. He was singing praise. He was fine because God's right there in that prison with him. And you know what he tended to do when he was arrested? He would write letters to the churches just to keep in touch with everyone. He would write letters to the churches to instruct them, to teach them, to encourage them, sometimes to reprimand them. When he was in prison and he couldn't do anything else, he would just write letters to the churches. You know what that is today? Most of the New Testament. The things we have in Scripture that we value so much, he didn't know he was writing the Bible. He didn't know that he was writing what will become most of the New Testament. He didn't know that he would be speaking to us today. The story we read, the scripture we read today out of John, John's in prison. While he was in prison, God speaks to him, shows him amazing things. He writes it down to send it to letters to the churches. He didn't know that we would be reading it a couple of thousand years later. We don't know what God will do with the circumstances. We don't always know what's bad or good. If you ask Paul, if you ask John when they were thrown into prison, is that a good thing? They would probably say, well, no. I haven't done anything to deserve this. I haven't done anything wrong. I've done exactly what God told me to do. I'm not sure why God would have me thrown into prison. But if you ask Paul or you ask John today, is it okay that you were in prison so that churches around the world can gather today and read what you were inspired to write while you were in that prison? Is it worth it now? I bet both of them would say, oh yeah. For the chance to speak to generations of Christians, for the chance to speak to generations of the church till the very end of time, that the Holy Scriptures will always be passed down, what these men wrote under the inspiration of God while they were in prison. Was it worth it? I think they would say, yeah. But how would they even imagine such a thing? They couldn't. They couldn't imagine us in Prague reading their words that they wrote. But they trusted God. They knew they had God. They heard the word of God and they wrote it as they could. And look what God did with it. Ultimately, all of us can look at our circumstances and say, you know, I feel a certain way. Some things in my life I like, some things I don't. Some things I'm celebrating, some things I'm angry about. Some things I'm suffering. Causing me to suffer. Some things I cry. Sometimes I cry. Some things, they cause me great grief. Others, they cause great celebration. But ultimately, who knows what's bad or good? We don't know down the road. Now, that can either be really scary, or as people of faith, we can say it's okay because I trust God. I have God to lead me through the celebrations. I have God to lead me through the tragedies, and God will use both somehow in my life to make me better, to draw me closer, and who knows who might be touched, even through the tragedies of my life, even through the mistakes, even through the suffering. Who knows if I trust God, I follow God, what God can do in my life that I may never even see. See, it's not what we believe. It's who we believe. It's not the set of rules we believe in and follow. It's not the set of doctrines that we adhere to. It's important, but ultimately it's not about that. It's who we believe in. At the end of our service the last few weeks, we've been closing with the Apostles' Creed. We'll do that again today. It doesn't really tell us what we believe. It reminds us who we believe in. We believe in God the Father Almighty who created all of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ who came as the very presence of God to rescue us from this fallen world. We believe in the Holy Spirit that is with us even now. If we believe in the who, what happens in this world will take care of itself. Sometimes we'll celebrate it. Sometimes we'll grieve it. Sometimes it will be joyous. Sometimes it will really, really hurt. But if we believe in who, we believe in God, we believe that the Holy Spirit leads us through all of these things, then ultimately the circumstances of life, they'll be good, they'll be bad, and God will use them all. And that's why we pray. That's why as a people of faith, we pray to God and we bring everything to Him. We ask Him for what we want, but ultimately we ask Him to just be with us through everything, through all the circumstances of life. Through the suffering that God will somehow use that for the glory that we may or may not understand or ever see. In the celebrations of life that God will be with us and celebrate with us, but that we wouldn't depend on that for our joy because that can be fleeting. That ultimately we draw close to Him. So the circumstances of life, we grieve, we celebrate, but ultimately we have God. And so we draw close to Him. As a people of faith, the spiritual life is to draw close to Him, and God will take care of the circumstances.